that you have those issues, but for him, do you guys think that we really need the speakers? Do you really think that we need that? Yeah. And that's what we're going to talk about that today a little bit. And I think that's why he maybe, allowed that to happen. So that way he touched my heart and said, hey, John, this is what I'm talking about. Amen. It doesn't matter what's going on about building or systematic or process or protocols or anything like that. For me, it's a different story. Hallelujah. So, and that's, I think, what he wants us to understand today. I'm getting already touched. Wow. And I'm just starting. Praise God. Hallelujah. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your presence. Thank you for the blessing to be here today. Thank you for the opportunity to receive your blessings, understanding how simple human beings we are, and acknowledging that you are so great, so powerful, and you have that big, big love and mercy that you decide just to let me go down there and touch these guys. Let me touch this church. Let me touch these people. Let me bless them so they can understand how big I am, how powerful I am. In the name of Jesus Christ, thank you for this opportunity. Thank you for this blessing. Thank you for your scripture. We're going to continue talking about your word. And we ask you, Lord, to please continue touching our hearts and our mind through the Holy Spirit. Be you, Holy Spirit. Be you, God. Be you, Jesus Christ, talking to us, not me. I want you to remove my thoughts, my flesh desires, maybe other things that is going on in our life, earthly-wise, and be you speaking to the church. Be you talking to us, to our life today, and that we can receive it and go and do it and apply it in our life for your glory. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen and amen. So, today, I was thinking, like, okay, we might be going to finish already the series about becoming disciples. And he, you know that God talks to our life in different ways. And it was really interesting. This week I received a magazine that I always receive from AG or other Christian denominations or anything. I just received the magazine, and you know how he works. I just open it, like random, boom, discipleship. Oh, okay. Let's read this about why you want to ministry my life, then maybe I can also share with everyone. And it is kind of an interesting topic that he went through, and I want to just share some scripture with you guys. And once again, like always, hopefully that will continue bringing to us some knowledge and some revelation from his scripture, his word, and then we can apply it in our life and understand it better. So when we're talking about a person that he got banished or maybe bare from their countries, in removing from that homeland, removing from that place, we call that exile. Yeah, okay. And today, God wants us to learn more about exile, a discipleship situation that is happening in our life and also out there right now. It is an exile. Mm-hmm. And we can go back to Genesis. We can go back to the whole stories. And you can see the pattern that the Israelites, the Jewish people, were going through, which we can get that word, put it in our hearts, in our mind, and then say, how I can apply this for me? How I can put this word from God in movement so that way it can develop a stronger person in a spiritual manner or point of view with God, with relationship with others, etc. And when we go to the garden, the same thing. What happened with Adam and Eve? I banish you. I'm going to remove you out of here. You can see other situations when they got exiled to Babylon. Also, we can see a different other stories and pretty much the Old Testament, when you read that, it's related to that, right? It's related that the Jewish people of the Israelites, they're not in the homeland. They're not in the place that they're supposed to be. They are in another country, in another place, maybe in Egypt, and then they got removed out of there to bring them back home. And I believe that that's what God wants us to understand in our hearts, that there's people out there, or maybe here internally, that they are not home yet in their heart and in their minds, to be in relationship with God, to then be close to God, to then be a disciple. That's it. We're finished. Let's pray. Go home. It's simple, but the application is always the situation over here that we need to go through, and we struggle sometimes. But you and I accept Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, and now we are going through this process of sanctification, trying to go back home, to be in that relationship with Him, to be in the place that He wants us to be in that country, homeland, that we're supposed to be. Now, on the earth, we might be not physically in the land that we're supposed to be, but internally, we are living in the eternal life with Jesus Christ. Amen. We are living already there because we are experiencing those things with Him, that relationship with Him that is solidifying our hearts and our mind with Him. Always understanding that all the glory is from Him, not from us. And that's helping us understanding what is the meaning of being exiled and why other people are also exiled, because they're also friends, co-workers, neighbors, anyone, name it. They're also being created by God. Yes or no? Amen. So they are creation from God. Are they in the homeland? Are they in the place that they're supposed to be according to God's will? So they're maybe in exile. They're not in the place that they're supposed to be. Maybe you and I, we are in that place, and we need to bring them back home. And I hope this word continue helping us, because it's the same thing that God was putting on my heart based on what happened this morning. And that's, let me go through the scripture. Let's go first to Matthew 9. Let's go to Matthew 9. Hallelujah. Matthew 9, and we're going 35 through 38. We know this scripture. And this is before what we were talking last weekend. Bless you. We were talking about Jesus sending the 12 to go and ministry, deliverance, perform miracles. But before that, something happened. And that's what I want to share with you guys today. It is Matthew 9:35. It says, Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into the harvest field. What does that mean? The harvest, in this point of view, according to the scripture, he saw a crowd. And then the point that he's saying over here is that they saw distress, they saw hopeless, they saw something in these people that they say, man, this is not the place they're supposed to be. This is not their homeland, not talking physically. talking internally, talking spiritually. He was going through the villages, and he was preaching what? The kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven has come, is here. So then he was just sharing that kingdom, that place, that country in heaven is here. You're not living in that country right now. Because if you're living in that country, you're not supposed to be hopeless. So I'm teaching to you, Jesus Christ talking, not me. I'm teaching to you, crowd, or I'm looking that you are hopeless. That's not your place. You are in exile right now. You are not from here. You're supposed to be from the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of heaven is here. I'm giving it to you. I'm presenting it to you so I can bring you back home. Bring you back to the homeland that you belong to. So that's the place that he wants us to be. That's the place that he wants other people to be. The crowd that is feeling like that. And there's millions of people you and I get exposed to in a daily basis that they are maybe in exile right now. They are creation from God, but they're not in the place with God that they're supposed to be. And that's our responsibility as a disciples to bring them back home. To understand that they need to understand you are a creator, a creation from God. This is not the place that you're supposed to be. Living in hopeless, living without God in your life, that's not the place that you're supposed to be. The place that you're supposed to be is with Him, in relationship with Him. And that's the one that He's presenting to everyone and teaching to us today. And now He say, there's a lot. The harvest is too much. What I'm not seeing is the workers. That's the part that is not, that it needs to be filled. So that way we can go and recover that. What does that mean also? That means that he's saying the harvest out there is ready. It's ready to receive. Maybe we 10, including myself, we say, it's a lost cause. There's no option. This guy is not listening to me. This guy is not listening to God. Oh my goodness. It is a lost cause. I'm not going to waste my time. But according to Scripture, what it says, he saw the crowd and he put in a representation of that as a harvest. What is a harvest? It's ready to pick it up. That means the people out there, they're ready. We just need the workers. Hallelujah. That means that the harvest is ready to be picked up. It's just that we need to bring workers to pick it up the harvest. It's ready because it's Him that is touching their hearts. It is Him creating and orchestrating everything on their hearts. He just needs workers that believe and have faith on Him. I'm giving all the glory to Him and just present to over there. I'm just here from God. Just to show you that the kingdom of heaven is here for you. That there's no more hopeless for you. There's hope. Come back home. And that's the first point that I want to share with you guys today. Harvest is ready. Let's go. Let's just go and pick it up. The land is from Him. He's the one. Not you and me. We are just that part of transition between Him, us, and them to just provide that and bring them home. Also in Luke 10, 1, 2, it says, the same verse. It says, then He sent them and they were excited due to deliverance and the other miracles, but Jesus told them to not rejoice because the spirits were subject to them, but rather to rejoice that their names are written in heaven. Let's go to Luke 10. 10, 1 and 2. It says, after these, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them two by two ahead of Him to every town and place where He was about to go. And He told them, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into the harvest field. And then when you continue reading the whole scripture, there's a point over here that he's talking about that the glory is for him. It's not from us. Because we tend to then start going and doing this work, and we say, I bring 500 people to the church. I have 500, you have 10. And we have to be careful with that. Because then we are taking the glory from God to yourself. Again, he's the one orchestrating everything. He's the owner of the land. He's the owner of putting the seed. He's the owner of the Holy Spirit touching their hearts and transforming everyone. Not us. So our responsibility is pray to him to bring more workers to do that. But also to go and do it. Make more disciples. That's why the scripture in Luke 10, again, if you read more below, you will see over there that he say, hey, don't glorify yourself. He say here, verse 10, but when you enter a town and you are not welcome, go into its streets and say, even the dust of your town we wipe from our feet as a warning to you. Yet be sure of this, the kingdom of God has come near. I tell you, it will be more bearable on that day for Sodom and than for that town. Woe to you, Chorazin! Woe to you, Bethsaida! For if the miracles that were performed in you have been performed in Tyre and Sidon, they will have repented long ago, sitting in sackcloth and ashes. But it will be more bearable for Tyre and Sidon at the judgment than for you. And you, Capernaum, will you be lifted to the heavens? No, you will go down to Hades. Whoever listens to you listens to me. Whoever rejects you rejects me. But whoever rejects me rejects him who sent me. So that's why the scripture here is specifying that he is giving that mercy to everyone. But then if they rejecting Jesus Christ, they're not rejecting you or me. They're rejecting Jesus Christ. So that's why you cannot take it that as personally, because it's not your glory. It's his glory. In Galatians 6:7 says, do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. Whoever sows to please their flesh, from the flesh will reap destruction. Whoever sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people. He say all people. Everyone. But then he puts a comma and then say, especially to those who belong to the family or believers, of believers. But he say, all people. Now, where are you putting your seed? Are you putting it in the flesh? Or are we putting it in the Spirit? Because if we're putting it in the Spirit will lead you. The Spirit will control everything. You're not taking control of that. And that means when you're going out there, when you are ministering someone, if it's by the Spirit, the rest is a story, because he's the one controlling everything, not you. Not because you won. And at that specific time that he destined or he predestined already, that time, you will reap or you will get that harvest that you need in your life, that you will receive in your life. Something that I learned also in Leviticus 19:9, really interesting, it says, when you reap the harvest of your land, do not reap to the very edges, around, of your field, or gather the gleanings of your harvest. Do not go over your vineyard a second time, or pick up the grapes that have fallen. Leave them for the poor and the foreigner. I am the Lord, your God. This is Leviticus. He's talking about this. I love when he just puts his signature, right? At the end, when he say, I am the Lord God. I'm saying this, guys. So not anyone else. But the teaching over here, it is that there's a harvest. And when it's the time to pick it up, just pick it up. And he say, there's some edges around. And according to the law, by that time, you have to leave it over there for the poor. So in other words, there's maybe sometimes that there's some harvest that you can see in the edges. And when we're seeing harvest, we're talking about people, crowd, Jesus Christ. Leave it over there. You try. They don't want to continue following. Leave it over there. Maybe at some point they will get it. Maybe at some point Jesus Christ or the Holy Spirit will touch them and bring them back home. Don't take it personally. Don't take it like it's you, because it's not you. It's not your land. It's God's land. Now let's say Elburn, Maple Park, Corland, Sugar Grove. This is the land. And God already prepared the land. He already touched the hearts. He already created everything. The workers are few. You have to go and pick it up. It's just that. And that's the first thing that he wants to share today. The harvest. Psalm 147, verse 1. Praise the Lord. How good it is to sing praises to our God. How pleasant and fitting to praise Him. The Lord builds up Jerusalem. He gathers the exiles of Israel. He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. And I like the continuation when you go farther down to 10 and 11. His pleasure is not the strength of the horses, nor his delight in the legs of the warrior. The Lord delights in those who fear him. Hallelujah. Who put their hope in his unfailing love. That's it. Just putting the hope on his unfailing love is the only thing that we need to do. Because he doesn't delight on the horses, going to the war, on the warrior's legs, strong, just reactive, like that kind of stuff. No, he want a heart that is believing in him, believing in his unfailing love, and you're ready to bring them back from the exile. It's really amazing how he create everything for his glory and bring them back to the life. Also, inside of the harvest, I want to share with you guys Deuteronomy 30. Let's go there. Hallelujah. Praise God for your church. Hallelujah. Chapter 30, verse 1. When all these blessings and curses I have set before you come on you, and you take them to heart wherever the Lord your God disperses you among the nations. And when you and your children return to the Lord your God and obey him with all your heart and with all your soul, according to everything I command you today, then the Lord your God will restore your fortunes and have compassion on you and gather you again from all the nations where he scattered you. Even if you have been banished to the most distant land under the heavens, from there the Lord your God will gather you and bring you back. He will bring you to the land that belonged to your ancestors, and you will take possession of it. He will make you more prosperous and numerous than your ancestors. Then the Lord your God will circumcise your hearts and the hearts of your descendants, so that you may love him with all your heart and with all your soul and live. Praise God. Everything it says over there. But the interesting here is that he's the one scattering them. But he's doing that because our own reactions, behaviors, mindset, things that we're doing. What happened the majority of this situation with the Israelites? They go to the land and they get contaminated with the land. The idols, and they start worshiping the idols. And then now they get involved in that culture. And that's the second point that I want to share with you guys today. Culture. Why? Because culture is being created by behaviors, ways of thinking. God created you. God formed you. You belong to the kingdom of heaven. You belong to God. But you and I, we decide to step out because our own understanding and say, let me go to the other land. Let me go to Egypt. Why? Because over there, maybe they're offering me something better for my flesh, for my emotion, for my desires, what I want. They're not seeing the experience of God in the spiritual mindset, in their spirit. They just want to go what is satisfying their flesh, what is satisfying their desires on the earth, not with him in spirit. And what happened? They get contaminated. We get contaminated. We got contaminated with the world, with the earthly stuff. And we tend to get involved in that culture. This is so nice. When someone says something that I don't like, let's just do something. Let me react. Let me say something offensive. Let me punch or take the judgment in my hands and hurt that person. And let me. And that's one thing. We can talk about other stuff. Because we get involved in that culture. We forget the culture of God. His culture is so amazing. The behaviors from heaven. That's why Jesus Christ says, the kingdom of heaven, the culture in heaven, I'm providing it to you. The culture of heaven is the one that I'm giving it to you. That's the right one, not the one on the earth. And that's the experience that I have also as a confirmation this morning. We tend to get to this culture, good building, AC, yeah, I know, it's cold outside, warm here, nice and cozy. We have a monitor over there, we can see the scripture, we can see everything. This is so nice. That creates a behavior, that creates a custom, that creates a culture. And that's what God was ministering me in the back. I said, we tend to just get used to this culture in the world. And we tend to forget and forget my culture, John. The culture of God. The culture of the kingdom of heaven. Hallelujah. That's the one that we need to go after. Because when we understand that culture and we live in that culture and we can share that culture to other ones, they're going to get removed out of that culture of the earth and bring to the culture of the kingdom of heaven. They will say, oh my goodness, all this time I was missing all this? Yes, you were missing all this blessing. Come back home. Removing them from that exile. Removing us from that exile. That's what God wants us to experience in our life. Again, I'm not talking nothing wrong about what happened this morning. It's just the mindset that sometimes we have. Let's be honest. Transparent. Tend to just go that route and that path. Did Jesus Christ have speakers? Did Jesus Christ have a projector over there back then? Hey, guys, back in Genesis, it says this. He was just over there preaching. Go to the hill, to the mountain, using that system, if we can call it a system, by nature, and then share the word, and everyone can listen perfectly. Maybe the environment, the weather, it was not perfect, but they were so delighted to listen to Jesus Christ that they don't care about the environment. And again, sometimes we get so anxious and worry about, like, oh, we need to. But I think it will be amazing just coming one day here, Sunday, forget about anything else, and let's just worship God and listen to the word. Hallelujah. With that heart. And I believe, I trust that it's going to be a blessing from him, because it's pure heart. Just for him and with him. When we think about culture, we also think about setting that type of knowledge based on experiences that create a critical judgment in our life. That's not right. But that's the culture of that person from their homeland, that situation, because that's the way that he grew. I grew in a different way, maybe, and then I can set my parameters and say, this is the right culture. No, not necessarily. That's here on the earth. What is his culture that he wants us to get and walk by? That culture is the one that is really important, because that culture is applied to everyone in the world. Jewish, Mexican, Northern American, name it, Germany, everyone, Asian, everyone. They have their own culture in the earth, that's fine. But the culture of heaven is the same one for everyone. Hallelujah. And that's the one that we need to apply in all our life and bring them back home so they can live all together with us in that same culture. Now, there is a cultural influences always, like I'm saying, on the world, that is creating that in our life. But that powerful influences from the Holy Spirit, it helped us to bring us to that culture of heaven, the kingdom of heaven. 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. But you are chosen people, a royal priesthood. Hallelujah. That's you. That's talking about you and me. A holy nation. God's special possession. Oh my goodness. What kind of words are that for you and me? Encouragement, words to let you know who you are, what is your culture, what you're supposed to do, think about, behave. Hallelujah. That you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, you and me, and a lot of people out there also. But now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Dear friends, I urge you, a foreigners and what? Exilers. We're not from here, guys. Hallelujah. We're not from here. To abstain from sinful desires, which wage war against your soul. Live such good lives among the pagans that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day he visits us. Amen. Yes, because your culture, my culture, the one from the kingdom of heaven, for them, that's wrong. That's not normal. Because the culture on the earth is not supposed to respond that way. It's supposed to do other things. And now you are responding differently, like maybe peaceful, maybe kind, maybe with compassion. And that's not the way that they're used to out there. And now that we are responding that way with that culture, they say, that's wrong. This guy is crazy. But according to Scripture, at some point, they will see the good deeds. And they will say, like, I think this is right. And if he belongs to that culture, then I can get that culture also in my life. I want that peace. I want that love. The only thing that we need to do, it is trust in God, giving him the glory, trusting in his unfailing love. He will do the rest. He already did it. Let's say it that way. It's just us stepping up and move forward and believing the harvest is ready. The culture is ready. I'm part of the kingdom of heaven. Let me go and be part of this specific purpose of God and will, which is the last one that I want to share with you guys today. Being a participant of this. Because now we understand that he already prepared the land. He already prepared the harvest. It's ready. It's not. It's just that we are praying for the workers. And we as a workers going out there. Now we understand the culture. We are from the culture of the kingdom of heaven. Not the culture on the earth. But now I can participate on this. Because I want to participate. I don't want to be left out. I want to be part of this. I want his manifestation in my life, and also other ones can receive the same blessing in their life. So when we go to the scripture and go to Hebrews chapter 3, and we're going to read verse 1 through 6. Therefore, and as you guys know, after therefore, there's something before, and you can go back home and read chapter 2, verse 14, when he's talking about, since the children have flesh and blood, he too share in their humanity, so that by his death he might break the power of him who holds the power of death, that is the devil, and free those who all their life were held in slavery by their fear of death and continuation. But then after that, in chapter 3, he said, therefore, after that, holy brothers and sisters, who share in the heavenly calling, being a participant, brothers and sister, who share the calling, workers, being part of this. Fix your thoughts on Jesus. That's it. Fix your thoughts on Jesus. Because after that it says, whom he acknowledged as our apostle and high priest, he was faithful to the one who appointed him. Just as Moses was faithful in all God's house, Jesus has been found worthy of greater honor than Moses. Just as the builder of a house has greater honor than the house itself. For every house is built by someone, but God is the builder of everything. Hallelujah. Moses was faithful as a servant in all God's house, bearing witness to what will be spoken by God in the future. But Christ is faithful as the son over God's house. And we are his house. Hallelujah. We are his house. If indeed we hold firmly to our confidence and the hope in which we glory. We are the house. For the Jewish people, the Israelites, Moses, it is a great prophet, right? We're not going to remove that out of the book. However, Jesus Christ, he's above that. And understand that according to this scripture, to be a participant, we need to understand this. We need to fix our thoughts. What is our thoughts? That it says that Jesus Christ is the one. We are the house. But according to scripture, to be at a house, the last one, it says, and we are his house. If indeed we hold firmly to our confidence and the hope in which we glory. Hold firmly. Do not move to any place. Just continue trusting and believing, having that confidence, having that trust that make you the house. And now that you are the house, you understand he's the one. He's the builder. Not me. Not anyone else. He's the builder. I am the house. Let me participate in this. Let me be part of this. And that brings me to that type of mentality of, we can say show, we can say art, we can say events, we can say sports. You are a participant of that. You are participating. And every time that you are participating, you are kind above, below something greater than you. Because maybe you are participating to win an award, maybe to win a trophy, maybe, I don't know what it is. It can be different things. But the point is that when you are participating with other ones, you are just part of that team working together for that glory of God in your life, in the life of other ones. We are participating. Please, please, let's continue walking in this firmly, confidence, having that conviction that he will continue blessing our life. He already prepared the harvest. That's it. It's done. You didn't do anything. We just need to go. And when he presents you that specific situation and moment in your life, understand the culture, share the culture, and be participant of that. And God will continue blessing our life. The harvest is a lot, but the workers are few. That's what he's looking. And that will help us to be more and more and more better disciples and bring more disciples, according to Matthew 28. Praise God. Worship God. And we declare all the glory in the name of Jesus Christ. We trust in him. We trust in also the scripture. We trust in the Holy Spirit. So thank you, God. Thank you for this blessing. Thank you for this moment and time. Thank you for all the experiences that you are giving to us. Thank you for the church. Thank you for the growing. Thank you for all the blessings that you are doing. So we ask you, God, in the Ezekiel 23, when you go home, read that one. I'm not going to read it. It's kind of a little bit strong, talking about prostitution. So read it, because God is talking about two sisters and how they prostitute when they are in their land and getting contaminated or adulterated with idols, culture. Ezekiel 23. I just want to leave you with this. Verse 32. This is what the sovereign Lord says. You will drink your sister cup, a cup large and deep. It will bring scorn and derision, for he holds so much. You will be filled with drunkenness and sorrow, the cup of ruin and desolation, the cup of your sister, Samaria. You will drink it and drain it dry and chew on its pieces, and you will tear your breast. I have spoken, declares the sovereign Lord. Therefore, this is what the sovereign Lord says, since you have forgotten me, I turn your back on me. You must bear the consequences of your lewdness and prostitution. The Lord said to me, Son of man, will you judge Hola and Oholibah? That's their names, the sister names. Then confront them with their detestable practices, for they have committed adultery, and blood is on their hands. They committed adultery with their idols. They even sacrificed their children, whom they bore to me, and as food for them. They have also done this to me. At that same time, they defiled my sanctuary and desecrated my Sabbath. On the very day they sacrificed their children to their idols, they entered my sanctuary and desecrated. That is what they did in my house. You and I, we are his house, remember. We are getting exposed to this every day. Every day, every second. We have a lot of idols around us. Just be careful. Don't commit adultery with those idols. And you know what I'm saying. We're talking about spiritually. His culture is amazing. Eden, garden, beautiful. Relationship with him, peace, love. That's his culture. Don't let it go. Don't let it go. So always have that mindset. Let's have that mindset so that way we can continue being in relationship with him, being in his house, in his presence, so that way we are not committing those adultery with any idols in our life. Praise God to his life. Church, if you receive something from the Spirit, if you get a touch, you can come forward. We will be praying for you. We like to pray for you. If you want to pray individually, you know that always we have a person over here or two praying for you. But please, if you feel the presence of God and you want to come over, you feel free to come over, okay? Love you. God bless you. Have a great rest of your day. Have fun in the bowling. And also have a great rest of your week. I declare blessing over you and your life. Everything will be amazing. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. Thank you, church. God bless you.